Some people would come to the one side of Corinth, drop off their goods. It would be dragged along the path. Then they'd have a second ship waiting. They'd reload the cargo, and the person would continue the voyage. Thus, you could avoid the treacherous waters. So because this was a major port, it became very powerful and very, very important. And so a lot of people would hang out in Corinth while they waited for their ship to come or to go. And so Corinth became very, very significant and a major trade route. So when Paul finds Corinth, he has a chance to influence a lot of people that will go lots of places. Now, this trade route eventually, I think this was a little more than 100 years ago, they dug it deeper and now it has water in that 4 mile stretch, and our boys came and they threw rocks in there. So that's Corinth. That's the little canal that we have today. So those cliffs are about, I don't know, maybe 100 feet straight down. So be careful, there's no fences, I'll just tell you. But that's what made Corinth so important. Another thing that made Corinth such a valuable city was what's called Aqua Corinth. If you can advance the slide here. So this is the mainland of Corinth, and above it is Aqua Corinth, that hill. And up on that hill, they had a fortress, and it was a place that you could go and retreat in case of battle. If you could advance the slide again. Okay, and that's Aqua Corinth up there. Okay, next slide. So they have all kinds of fortresses up there. Our guys ran around and explored the whole thing. They actually had a well up there where they could have water. So if you lived in Corinth, you could head up north of the city. You go up to Aqua Corinth, there's a pathway. You could retreat and hide, and it was a place of safety. So a couple of things that made it invaluable: the canal area, and then the place of defense. Let's talk a little bit about athletic events. If you could just advance the slide here. So this is the downtown. If you don't know what the size is, that's Mr. Sherwin there for scale. This is the downtown. This was later at night. These are my little marketplaces along that main street. You've heard of the Olympic Games, right? Those are very famous. Every 4 years they had the Olympic Games. But they actually had an event every 2 years called the Isthmian Games. And the Isthmian Games would have been in Corinth. And a lot of people would travel far and wide to come to the Isthmian Games. And they didn't really have as many hotels to keep everyone. And so the way you made money is if you were a tent maker like Aquila and Priscilla and Paul, you could make tents for the Isthmian Games. And you know, Paul, I don't know if he goes to the events or not, but he sure talks about the Isthmian Games quite a bit. 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race, all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertain. So I fight, not as one that beateth the air." So he refers to the running and the boxing. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." So the Isthmian Games that are here, the running, the boxing, he makes reference to the Christian life. And you know, the Christian life is a struggle, right? Just like an athletic event, there are things that make you tired. There's times when I feel tired. And we got to keep going, right? It involves endurance. And we have to have goals and aim. He says, there's no good just showing up. You have to do something. The participation ribbon isn't enough. Just like a runner tries to win that race, you know, I'm going to try to do my best to live the Christian life. And I'm going to seek that prize, and the Lord is going to use me. And I'm going to have purpose. And so Paul makes reference to the Isthmian Games. And this would have been where it was at. Another important part of Corinth. Now, this may look strange and bizarre to you, and the reason why it looks strange and bizarre is because it is. But there was a famous god, Asclepius, and Asclepius was the god of healing, and he had a temple in Corinth. And so if you had some kind of a sickness, what you could do is they would make for you the body part that was injured, and you would offer it on an idol to Asclepio. And so these are some of the body parts that they still have excavated and found to Asclepios. And so maybe if you have leg problems, you have him build a leg for you, and you offer it on the altar to Asclepios, and it fixes your leg. So this would have been common in Corinth. Asclepios, his headquarters was in Corinth, which I find fascinating, and I think Paul did too. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one with many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And I think if you're in Corinth, then you know Asclepios. When Paul gives this metaphor, you get it, right? So I'm injured. I need this body part to be whole. I need this body part to be fixed. And Paul says, that's just the way the church is. We're all parts of the same body. And every one of us matters. And the health and the well-being of everyone makes a difference. Just like you're worried about, maybe they have legs or an arm that they might build or a hand. That's what each member of the church is. You need each part to function correctly. So this is Asclepios, the body parts. This would have been Corinthians. A few more pictures here. You know what this is? This is the Bema seat. Dun, dun, dun. I saved this for last. This is the grand finale here. Okay? So this is where Galileo this is where he sat. There would have been a seat on top of this stack of bricks, and he sat in judgment. And this little rock you see, this shorter piece of rock, that's where you would have stood if you're accused, and you would have had to give an account. And so Paul stands before Galileo, the proconsul, or the Roman leader, not the Galileo we think of in history books, but there was another Galileo, okay? The Roman authority. And Paul stood before him, and Paul was accused of creating a religion that's worship required the breaking of Roman law. That was the accusation, okay? And so Paul stood before Galileo, and he gave an account, and he gave a defense of what he was teaching. And that would have been a Bema seat right there. There's different types of Bema seats, but this is the one where there's a chair, and you sit. The person sits and makes judgment of you. And I think this image is interesting. 2 Corinthians 5:10, what does Paul say? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So he stood before Galileo, and he had to give an account of what he had done, and whether it was right or wrong. In the same way, we as believers will stand before God, and he'll be on that seat, won't he? And he'll be the one judging our life, and we have to give an account to him. And what he says is far more powerful and far more important than what a human authority might say, or Galileo, someone like that might say. But we have to realize this. And you know, sometimes I get concerned about others. I think, man, they shouldn't do that. But guess what? They're going to stand before God for what they've done. I'm not going to stand before God for what they do. And I want to be encouragement and help to them, but I can't worry, right? They'll stand before God what they do. I have to focus on me, right? Because God will judge me based on what I do. And fixing Mac a Potter can be a lot of work sometimes. And so I have to worry about, I'm going to stand before the Lord someday, and I'm going to give an account of the things that I have done. And so it's important. We see this Bema seat reminds us that God sits in judgment of us and the things that we say and the things that we do. So these are some things that I saw on my trip. These are some of my pictures. Hope it's encouraging to you. Hope it helps you understand the scriptures better. You see the context in which they came in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that we'd appreciate it and understand it. And Lord, I pray that we would love it. Help us to read it and to study it. May it be a part of our lives and how we live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tied in well with what Pastor was talking about this morning about Paul and his life of sacrificial service for God. Now we see in living color where it was he went and tie that into the things that he did.